Hello and welcome to the Arena Sports Show. My name is Chloe Grayson Funza. And while major sporting events are not only, of course, a phenomenal showpiece, but they're also infused with deep culture. And normally tournament organizers will use art in the form of music, dance and fashion to show us a glimpse of their world. Allow me to introduce my, of course, glimpse of my world, that being football commentator Sizwe Mabena and sports journalist Mahlatsi Mphahlele. And while, gentlemen, I mean, we normally wonder, right, when you watch our athletes as to what are they listening to when they've got their headphones on or pods lately these days? So I want to find out from you two. We'll start with you, influencer. Mm-hmm. Who's your top two all-time favorite musician?
Sure, you should have warned me. I'll go with Eminem.
Uh-huh.
And Tupac.
I find that so strange because you're like the sweetest guy and you're going to, you know, rap music. Are you, you know, striking as a romance?
Yeah, yeah, when I'm in my zone and I listen to a bit of rap. We used to call it rap back in the day. It's called hip hop now.
Uh-huh.
But Eminem, I think, in my opinion, probably the best rapper of all time.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching 50 Cent in a podcast the other day.
Yeah.
He said that Americans don't want to accept that a white guy is killing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are, well, of course, there's a few others, but yeah.
We'll leave it at two. Yeah. What about you, Binzel?
When, in fact, when I started commentating,
mm-hmm.
The track I listened to a lot to hype me up, because I'd be nervous, was the Eminem 8 Mile track.
Yeah.
So, Eminem. Honorable mention, but Bob Marley, mm-hmm. all-time favorite, and D'Angelo.
All right. For those, of course, I'm hoping you're not like me, I had to Google who D'Angelo is.
What?
I was like, wait, hold up. Who is this? I kid you not. When you said that to me, I'm like, okay, cool.
Who's D'Angelo?
No. It makes sense, though. After I listened to his music and saw what it looked like, I was like, yeah, definitely your kind of person. But ladies and gentlemen, you've got now a glimpse, of course, of the gentleman that we normally spend time with here on the Arena Sports Show. We've got so much to get through. And, of course, our 19th episode, we've got our Star of the Week. And we also have a no moment where we find out as to what happened last week and just shocked us. And of course, we have a special guest today and coach Thabo Senang, who will be joining us in just a bit. But on that note, let's find out what's been happening on the headlines.
Now, first up, relegated Burnley has been included in Bafana Bafana's 36-player provisional squad for next month's crucial 2026 World Cup qualifiers against Nigeria away and Zimbabwe at home. Coach Hugo Bruce did not make room for in-form Orlando Pirates striker Tekofatso Mabasa, who leads the DStv Premiership scoring charts with 15 goals, but Lebohile Mofokeng has received his maiden call-up. Safa said the final 23-member squad will be announced in the next few days. Cricket South Africa are adamant that Proteas frontline fast bowler Kagiso Rabada will be fit for the upcoming ICC T20 World Cup in the West Indies and the USA next month. Rabada has returned home from the Indian Premier League due to a lower limb soft tissue infection. He has consulted a specialist and is being closely monitored by the CSA medical team. SASCOC has announced a first batch of 39 athletes to represent Team South Africa at the Olympics in July, which includes medal hopefuls Tatiana Smith, Chad Leclos, and sprinter Akani Simbine. SASCOC President Barry Hendricks has also announced the financial incentives where an athlete who is going to win a gold medal will get 400,000 rand, who is going to win a silver medal will get 200,000 rand, and a bronze medal payout will be 75,000 rand.
Well, a lot has been happening, of course, in terms of the headlines. And later on, we'll actually talk about the Bafana Bafana squad. But we move over to our Star of the Week. Sizwe Mabena, I'll start with you this time around. Who is your Star of the Week?
Well, firstly, a few guys I spoke to, more than a few, were upset because they put down their bets for Stellenbosch to beat Morocco Swallows. So Gabadinho Mango pops up, gets an assist and a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy second-half performance as well from Gabadinho Mango. So for me, my Star of the Week is the Malawian international, Gabadinho Mango.
All right. Mahlatsi Mphahlele.
I'm going with Sanele Bantz, Richards Bay. He made sure that the people are crying at Bish. Orlando.
Yeah, it's all about the upsets this week.
I guess the upsets will do. And my Star of the Week, literally, It was a tough one for me to pick, but definitely in MotoGP, where I was trying to figure out if I give it to the winner or to, of course, second place, Marc Marquez. And I have to give it to Marc Marquez because, yes, he's still itching for that win, right? But to see that comeback, he started from 13th and he was just, my goodness, fully sending it. And he went on, of course, to being like in third for a very long time, but then went on, of course, got a beautiful move over Pecco. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Only Marc Marquez will just do, of course, the magic that he does. So pure class, of course, from the French Grand Prix in the last weekend. But we keep things moving. Our Enno moment, if you are new to the show, that's basically where we just like, oh, my goodness, did that just happen? Influencer, what's your Enno moment?
I think that fall by by Pep Guardiola.
And soon to come to the Disney
I see he's a worldwide meme at the moment. And as we're saying, they say he's coming to the PSL very soon.
I don't know about that one. What about you, Mabena?
You guys remember when Ronaldo left Manchester United?
Yeah.
So much criticism about the stadium being old and so on and so on and so on. That was then. Mm. I mean, it's been gone a while now. And then last week, the stadium is leaking, which I'm thinking, no, you guys haven't fixed it by now. Like I gave you a heads up,
Listen, when it rains, it pours at Old Trafford, literally.
It's not like the theatre of dreams, the theatre of nightmares.
And I'm so sorry. But then to keep things moving, my one, look at me forgetting my own one quickly. I don't know if you guys have been following Polokwane City social media. The admin has been having a really
He's
good
back.
Time, eh? I'm like, oh my goodness, shots being taken. I'm calling a certain team, cows, saying, listen, I'm hoping that they're training and they're getting ready for the encounter. And I'm like, ooh, it's a lot of shade. I don't know what's happening. Some people like it, some don't. But listen, it definitely gets us talking. And then we keep things moving. In our previous episode, my star of the week was Keegan Masters. And Lord and behold, I've actually managed to get an interview with Keegan Masters, who races, of course, in the Porsche Super Cup. So let's find out what he has to say as they prepare to race, of course, in Imola this weekend.
Talk to us about those youngsters, especially from South Africa or Africa as well, Keegs, as to how do you get, you know, the European market to notice you as a driver for those that want to race in the European space?
Yeah, it's really difficult. It's not easy. It's never easy. Honestly, the main thing is to get here and showcase your performance. I mean, the most important thing is to arrive, be here, and yeah, you just kind of need to now restart from scratch, kind of, because in South Africa you already started from scratch and you worked your way up to being quite known, and as all the other drivers know you, and or everyone kind of knows you in South Africa. But as soon as you come to Europe, no one knows who you are. So yeah, that's the difficult part, is being noticed. But you need to start from just being here, you know. You need to get into a good team, bond with your team, and try to extract the performance the most you can. I mean, take the opportunity and work extremely hard, because all these other drivers are working hard, if not harder. I mean, they got mental coaches, they got all types of coaches, all types of help, professional help. So you need to work hard. You need to really put in the efforts, train hard, and kind of plant your roots here and kind of make a noise to tell people that you are here and you're here to stay. So, yeah.
Giggs, I want to find out from you in terms of adapting into, you know, different series, adapting to different cars, because I know you, there's nothing that you can't do. I mean, from karting to the Polo, and now here you are driving a Porsche. Talk to us about, you know, that capability that you have. I'd say it's a skill to be able to drive and master any machinery that you're given.
I think it all started from karting. You know, karting is probably the most fundamental part of a racing driver's roots. That's where you kind of learn all your skills. Even in saying that, a lot of drivers have started only in cars and have done extremely well. But karting, I think, taught me a lot. I mean, when we were practicing, we never always had the money to just bolt on tires all the time. So we were always running on old tires. Even when it was raining and we didn't have wet tires, my dad would send me out in the slicks, just go have fun type of thing. And that kind of taught me to adapt to different situations. And I think it just stuck with me from there. I don't know, I like the wet especially because it's very difficult and
We've seen the impact. I mean, yes, you do.
it's kind of scary and it puts the adrenaline rush is quite high, so yeah, I really enjoy that, and trying to control the car in tricky situations.
All right, definitely historic tracks, and I love that for you. And then lastly, before we let you go, what do you see as the next big step or a milestone in your racing career? I'm sure, yes, you've set goals for yourself this year, but what's for you? What's the next thing that I would love to tick this off?
Yeah, so the next step will be like GT3 racing. So I'd like to get into endurance GT3 racing, which is it's similar to our cars, except they have more downforce and more grip of tires and bigger tires and more horsepower. So yeah, that will be quite epic. And then yeah, to get finally paid, fully paid as a manufacturer's driver. I mean, that's the goal for most racing drivers to drive for a manufacturing team. So yeah, that's kind of what my goal is. And yeah, hopefully next year we'll step up into GT3 racing. Who knows? We'll see.
I have no doubt. If anyone can do it, it's you. So thank you so
Yeah,
much.
I'm
And
trying.
yes. Thank you, Keegs.
Thanks, Chloe. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're wishing, of course, our very own South African Keegan Masters all the best in the Porsche Super Cup. We keep things moving. We bring it back home, of course, in the Motsepe Foundation Championship. Well, we do know that Magesi are the champions, but there's still so much to be played for. Let's find out what the gentlemen have to say ahead of course, before we conclude the Motsepe Foundation Championship.
And a team with really a great stature, in my view, a coach with a great pedigree, in my view. Coach Dan, I have massive respect for the man. He has contributed a lot into South African football, really producing good brand of football and also producing quality players. It won't be easy. They're going to make it difficult for us. And tactically, I know he'll be really sharp on the day. They will be sharp on the day. They'll be motivated because they know that they need a win in this particular match by hook or crook. And that on its own, it's going to make it very difficult. And we have to suffer. We have to suffer on the ball. We have to suffer off the ball. And looking at the type of a coach that will be coming against us, we have to be prepared to suffer, especially off the ball. We have to be prepared for that in order for us to achieve what we want to achieve. But definitely, I respect the Baroka, Chairman Kurish. I respect the club, the brand. I respect the coach, Dan, and his technical team. And at the end of the day, football must be the winner on Sunday.
To be honest, from my side, the guys look very confident. And we as a team also, we are very prepared, you know. So we have to give it our best because of, first of all, it's in front of our own people here. It's our game. And definitely it's not going to be an easy one. But we're going to drive and make sure that, you know, we have a result that will put us in the playoff. It's very important, you know, for the students, for the management and for the whole university. You know, we need this extra people to, that extra man supporter, you know, and for our families. You know, this is vital. It's going to be vital. This home ground advantage will mean a lot to us because of it will give us that extra boost as it always does. And for us, it's always like to do our best in front of our people because of they support us even when we are but low. They are there for us. So we have to do this for them. Baroka's a good team, you know. They have a good coach. Fortunately enough, I've known him since my beginning of my career because of my coach at School of Excellence. So I know him like personally. I know what type of a person that he is, and that the players that he assembled there by Baroka is the type of players that he wants in his team. So I understand, but for us, it's not going to be an easy game, but it's in our home. This is our home. You know, for them, as much as for us it's not going to be easy, for them also it's not going to be easy. But we're going to do our best, and we have to do our best in front of our people.
Well, so much, of course, to look forward to, so much football. And it's a bit of a happy ending, so to speak, because you never wanted to go on a break. But fortunately, we've got the Euros that will be coming up real soon. But Mahlatsin Phahlele, when you look into the Masipa Foundation Championship, I mean, so much to play for. Mm. I know you're also planning to go to the stadium come Sunday. Talk to us about what's left and what's still left to play for.
Yeah, true. There's so much to play for. I'll be at Ducks on Sunday, Stags against the Baroka, and incidentally, the Ntumwa Fishers on the lock. I guess pretty much the winner there is guaranteed to go to the playoffs. There's another serious matter between JDR and Maritzburg.
Yeah.
You know, the winner there also may be in play, so it's going to depend on who wins and wins by what. Mm-hmm. The permutations are a little bit complicated, but at 5 o'clock on Sunday, we'll definitely now know for sure. Which team will be going to the playoffs to play against the second last in the PSL, which will probably be decided on the last day of the season.
Sizwe Mabena, a few episodes ago, I remember you saying, I feel something special about this Ducks team.
Yeah.
I think they're definitely going to be coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Here they are. Yes, they didn't win it, but they still have a chance. Talk to us about this Ducks team. Do you think they will be able to actually eventually come back to the DFTP?
Look, Baroka will be easy.
Yeah.
Baroka is such a club that's put so much into investing into themselves for the future to come back to the top flight of South African football that you can't ignore them as well. But where Tux is concerned, I like what they've done in the past. I like what they continue to do. I like what they do in varsity football and in those structures. So I'm a big fan of what they're doing out in Pretoria. Wish them the very best in getting through the playoffs. They've been there and stumbled before. Mm-hmm. So fingers crossed that they can do it. I really do believe they have something to offer in the way of value it comes to the DStv Premiership. I really do believe that.
Well, they certainly do. We move over now to ladies football. And, of course, it's always such a pleasure to talk about the ladies. Not long ago, we had Kolasa Biana join us in studio, you know, to talk about the ladies game. This time around, we bring in a man who we know very well in terms of, course, South African football and reporting, Mahlomula Morake. Talks to us about the ladies game and, of course, the moves that they're making outside of South Africa and, of course, the goals that the ladies are banging in and just representing the South African flag so well.
I've spoken to several coaches and they all say this season is just way too different. I mean, if you look at Mamelodi Sundowns right now, they're top of the table, 28 points, but they tied with UJ, the University of Johannesburg, on 28. And then you've got UWC in third place, TS Galaxy, and then the University of Pretoria. If you look at that setup, this year, last year, this time, Sundowns had tried to pull away from the chasing pack. But this time, they so neck and neck. Even Coach Jerry was saying, you know, no game is now easy. Whatever game you play, you will have to be at your best at all times. You cannot afford to underestimate. Whether the team is bottom of the table or second from bottom, you just have to give it your all. You cannot have any room for error. If you look at the top goal scorers this season, there's Boitumelo Rabalo, who's on 8. just 8, hey? She's from Mamelodi Sundowns, but she's got 8 goals. But the chasing pack, Gugu Dlamini and Thato Mofolo, they're both from UJ Ladies. So they also on 7. It shows you how just close the contest is this season. And very good players, this Gugu Dlamini and Thato Mofolo. But then again, there's also Pili Samjambane, who's from UWC. She's got a hat-trick this past weekend, and she's now on 6 goals. You can see that when you go through the top 10 of the top goal scorers list, players that you didn't expect to be there, your Tandi Rameri from Copa Belt Ladies, they knew in the league. This is their second season, but she's on 5 goals. That's what all the coaches are saying, that no team is now easy this 2024 campaign. Right now, Linda Rani is second from bottom. And as we said, One win, one draw. They're on 4 points after 11 games. That's not a good return. But then again, if you look at the Investor Forte, they also in their first season, they on they 10th on the table, and they've played 11 games with 4 wins. It shows you that something has been done there. And there's a lovely player there at Forte called Hendricks. She plays on the right wing. She's such a marvelous player. But then again, the whole team has just come on board because they also started in a wrong way, but they're starting to find their footing, and that is why they find themselves on 10th position. Mamelodi Sundowns has been invited to play in Missouri in the US, and they'll be playing against formidable opposition. I mean, you've got your Atletico Madrid, they're from Spain, and you've got Vissel Kobe, they're from Japan, and then you've got the hosts, Kansas City Current. Kansas City Current is only, 3 years old, but they're top of the table in the National Soccer Women's League in the US. Whereas if you look at Atletico Madrid, they are third in Spain, and Vissel Kobe is number one in the J League. So it clearly shows that this is just a formidable opposition. Now, how does that help Mamelodi Sundowns? Mamelodi Sundowns is playing in the Hollywood Bet Super League. Most of their players are in the national team. They've got a lot of experience. But now going to the US to play the likes of Atletico Madrid, that's European opposition already. You know, that's European structure. And then you've got from Asia, Vissel Kobe. Fast, physical. You know, they're going to give them a different dimension in terms of play. And then you've got the hosts, the Kansas City Current. They played that North American game, which is also quick and physical. So Mamelodi Sundowns will come back a much better team. And please understand me, they better, but they'll be coming back a much better team. And how does this help them? It helps them in a sense that Mamelodi Sundowns has been playing in the COSAFA CAF Champions League qualifiers, and then they've also played in the CAF Champions League proper tournament. So when they go there after this experience, imagine what they do when they get there. You mentioning Jermaine Seoposengwe. In fact, just yesterday, she scored for her team. Beautiful header from a corner, and her team won 1-0. They playing in what they call Liguilla, which is playoffs in Mexico. So at the end of the season, they play. They have playoffs to determine the winner. So her team, FC Monterrey, they have qualified for the semifinals. But also, who's also in the semifinals? Tembi Kgatlana, who plays for Tigres, also in Mexico. If you look at the two players, I mean, Jermaine Seoposengwe scored 8 goals in the league and then one in the playoffs. Tembi Kgatlana scored 6 goals in the league. So it's clear that they're doing well. And then you've got also Sinoxolo Tsasane as well as Hilda Magaya. Unfortunately, they're playing for a team that's not doing so well, Mazatlan FC, which is new in the league. And they finished 14th, so they couldn't be in the playoffs. But don't forget, there's also in Spain, you've got Nokomatlou. You also have Leander Smeda in Spain. You've got Linda Mohlalo in the USA. And then Refilwe Jana in Italy. But now, the players that I've just mentioned, Noku, Linda, and Refilwe, they've had a topsy-turvy season in a sense that in the last 7 games, Nokomatlou hasn't played. In the last 6 games, Linda Mohlalo hasn't played. Refilwe Jana has been in and out of the team due to injuries. In fact, since that injury at the World Cup, she's never been the same. So it's going to be quite interesting to see. Remember, Banyana is playing Senegal. It's going to be quite interesting to see if Coach Desi calls these players up or not. The Shamasi Twins, they started their football, by the way, in KZN in the Sasol League for Sunflower Women's Football Club, and they moved to UJ. And now the other one, I almost said an older one, but the other one, Thubelihle, she left in March, where she's been a regular for FC Jintra in Lithuania. And just 2 weeks ago, the other twin, Siphumelele, joined her. And together, they're playing in that club. And it shows that there's quite some talent there. And remember, this team, FC Jintra in Lithuania, is the same team that Jermaine Seoposengwe started at. Leandra Smera started at, and also Nothando Lekazi, who's now at TS Galaxy. So it's clear that this is a stepping stone for them to get to bigger teams in Europe.
Well, an interesting conversation. Thank you so much, Cesar Mabena. I could tell that you had a lot of fun with, of course, Clocks there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, staying with the women's football. I think we've seen the Banyana Banyana squad also has been announced. They will be in action on the 27th of May against Senegal. And, of course, we're wishing them all the best. We keep things moving here on the Arena Sports Show. We bring in someone now who is a student of the game, one of my personal favorites. Coach Thabo Senong joins us now. Coach, thank you for joining us. It's been a minute. Welcome back to South Africa as well.
It's good to be here. Thank you so much.
And we're talking off air about your little stint at Tanzania. Quickly talk to us. How was it and why are you back?
A good experience there in Tanzania. Good league in the top 10 in Africa against some top sides, Simba, Yanga, Azam. Yeah, it was a good experience. Went there with Ernest and continued to stay there. Interim head coach for a short period. And then I got back here. And I'm back in SA.
Why did you get back, coach? Was it those, no, we agree this is not working, or it was one part I was like, no, I'm good with this. It's done.
No, many factors, of course. Because we had an excellent run throughout, but just after the AFCON, the team was not getting the desired results. But we were still within the top seven in the log. And then there were also a lot of challenges within the team inside. And we sat down and then parted ways with the club.
Okay.
I've had the pleasure of working in a SACAFA tournament, which is like our COSAFA here in Southern Africa. But it's East Africa, where the likes of Azam, Simba and Yanga were there. I've also commentated the derby between Yanga and Simba. The football culture in Tanzania, for many South Africans, I think we don't know how good it actually is, the passion that's there, and also the quality of football that you get out of the East is quite impressive, in my opinion. Would love to get your thoughts on what you saw out there, quality, fans, and the culture all around.
Yeah, many factors, Sizwe, because especially in Tanzania, football is mainstream, number one sport. It doesn't compete with a lot of sports like in other countries. The foreign quota rule allows them to even bring 12 foreign players in each team. So they don't have to really play a certain number of foreign players. So they source and recruit a lot of players from around East, West, Central Africa, North as well, and bring a lot of players also from South America. Of course, that will always affect their national team, but it strengthens the league and the competition because of the players that are being imported into the league. And so very, very tough league. And the same with coaches as well. They source a lot of coaches from as far as Europe, South America, North Africa, Benfica, Gamondi, Miguel, who used to coach Mamelodi Sundowns. The Argentinian tactician is now in with Yanga. They just won a double. So it's a very, very competitive league. Lots of insights. And I'm actually very happy that I was part of that league because there's a lot of takeaways.
For sure.
Now, coach, a lot is made of derbies on the continent. How do you rate that derby?
Well, in Tanzania, Yanga Simba, one of the big derbies in the continent, top five, you know, together with the likes of Pirates, Chiefs, Hearts of Oak, Asante Kotoko in Ghana, Al Ahly, Zamalek in Egypt. So you can imagine the passion, the numbers that come into the stadium, the pressure on the players. The results, you know, players' careers are at stake. You make one mistake, you are hated. And you make good actions. You know, you are the favorite. You are the darling of the country. So the derbies are very important there because there's a lot of quality players. And even the high number of Simba Yanga players are actually dominating the national team space.
And also they share the same stadium. Which makes it so interesting because if you wear the wrong colors and you go to the wrong side of the stadium on any particular day, I promise you, they make you take off the top. You walk around naked or half naked until you get back to your side. So it's crazy passion. Lovely place to visit.
I'm sure you've experienced walking around naked. You know, but coach,
only at the beach. Only
at the beach. All right, coach. Well, I mean, I remember when you were in Lesotho, right? When you were the national head coach, you always, you know, emphasized the importance of having the under 17 and the under 20 coach with you on that technical bench. Now, when you bring it back, because you look into South Africa and you're looking at currently, we've got, of course, our squad that was announced. And you look at also the younger players as to, you know, I was talking to the gentleman that the under 17 of 2019, we knew who they were, you know, their names, we were talking about them. But you're looking at it now, 2024. Who are some of these youngsters and the conversation about them? Yes, we're seeing them at club level, but in terms of what they're doing at the national team, it's a bit of a different conversation now. What have you noticed in terms of that synergy between the technical teams, I mean, the national teams here in South Africa?
Yeah, no, I've always believed that a synergy is always essential within the national team structures just to fast track uniformity, because the senior national team coach does not have enough time to really impart or implement this philosophy. So he needs a lot of information from colleagues inside the federation in relation to their vision. And that's where the under 20 Amajita coach comes in, the Amajimbo's under 17 coach comes in terms of communications about the youngsters that are really excelling. And the same with the under 23 coach, because if you don't have that synergy, then obviously it will always affect the rhythm and the competition of the players, because we are now we haven't qualified for the Olympics now, unfortunately. And I'll make an example. When they were playing a very important qualifier, under 23 against Congo, if I'm not mistaken, Cassius Mailula was part of the Bafana camp, which in my opinion I felt it was not good, because if Mailula was part of the under 23 squad, he could have been a key man in the attacking line, and maybe the results could have turned out positively. We could have had another generation of our under 23 going to the AFCON, top 8 in the continent, and eventually hopefully qualifying us for the Olympic. Then now our senior national team coach will have a bigger, better pool of players that are exposed in junior national team tournaments. So not having a synergy will always affect the future of Bafana Bafana, the performance and the big pool, because you can go around. All high-performing football nations are there because of the progression and introduction and promotion of players coming from junior national team setups.
And Coach, maybe just a follow-up there. You mentioned Kishas, and he's a very interesting case study, because he has missed the previous AFCON. He's likely to miss the next AFCON. If we get to the World Cup, he may miss the World Cup. He's not played much in the US. And this is a guy who at some stage was seen as a guy who can possibly lead our attacking line. You know, of course, we've got other strikers like Mutiba and them. But you know, how problematic it is that he finds himself in a situation where he may miss so much international football at this critical age of his development as a footballer.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate, because obviously he moved into a league that is slightly different in terms of the off-season period. And also maybe he went to a place where it was a little bit difficult for him to adapt, because the league is very, very physical as compared to a technical league where he was playing in. And also the type of coaching and training. He was getting excellent coaching because he's a technically gifted player and he functions very well in a possession-based team, which is Mamelodi Sundowns. So obviously when you move as a player or getting a transfer to another club, more or less you have to always just try to move into a club that has similar dynamics, characteristics, so that it doesn't take you 6 to 12 months to adapt, but rather, you know, 2 to 4 months to adapt, because at the end of the day, the more you play, the more you gain your rhythm back. The more you gain your rhythm, the more you get call-ups from Bafana Bafana. So it's just an issue of he took time to adapt and also went to a league that is completely different to a league that he was playing for. But also this says a lot about us as youth developers to say we need to develop a player of the future, you know. And a player of tomorrow is a player that is very versatile and is adaptable and flexible to any kind of league, any environment, in relation to tactics, style of play, whether it's going to Europe, whether it's going to South America, or whether it's going to the US.
Mm. Coach, just to stay with that quickly, I mean, one of your players that was under your hands is currently in Portugal, Gobamelo Gorisang. What have you made of his progress? Because you'd look at him and think, man, back then in 2019 when you called him up in your squad, then we'd see more of him in Bafana Bafana, but which we don't. Talk to us about the progress that you've seen and his development.
Yeah, he has been doing very well. He has been getting minutes. He has been doing well. Unfortunately, he hasn't been getting call-ups. He's competing against a whole lot of attackers that are in the eyes of the coaching staff of Bafana Bafana, in my opinion, because you always find the likes of Elias Mokwana from Skukuna United now slowly getting closer to the team, Mbata, Amazulu player, getting closer to the team. I think it's an issue of monitoring to say maybe they are more closer to the eyes of the selectors. Maybe our selectors are not spending enough time in terms of investing time traveling to Europe and just getting to know the players better. What type of formation are you guys playing there? You know, how's everything? So I just feel that he's an investment for the country, a solid character, and also played for the under-20 World Cups twice, but also played for the under-17 World Cup 2015 under Coach Mlifintseki. And the boy is still consistent in a foreign league. Only 25 years now at the moment, at his peak, at the peak of his career. So I think he should be a player that the selectors need to have a closer look to him, so that he must always be part of our setup.
It brings me back to the point you were making about synergy. And I'll take you back a few years, and it's an example I've used with Chloe on a few occasions when we've had conversations, where I did a Region 5, was it a Zone 5, Region 5 games in Lesotho 3-4 years ago. And the Zambian under 15 squad and Angolan under 15 squads were there. Impressive. They were amongst the best squads there, better than all the others, including the South Africans. Then a couple of years later, I did the COSAFA qualifiers for the AFCON under 20 level. And a lot of those Zambians under 15s were now part of the under 20 qualifiers. So there was continuity there, not only from the players, but from the coaching staff as well. The same from the Angolans, their best players. I'm not talking two or three. I'm talking five or six that were under 15 are now looking to get into the under 20 Africa Cup of Nations for their countries, representing the COSAFA region. And the coaching staff as well is moving along. So you're keeping things relevant and you're keeping track of all of these players that are of interest. Now you speak of a player that played FIFA World Cup under 17?
Yes, and 20, thrice. Three times. World Cups,
And who somehow lost in the system, or maybe forgotten about, even with the changes at the top, from a coaching point of view, it seems to be a problem we have here in South Africa, where we aren't tracking the best players to say, look, we all know, no matter who the coach is, Neymar's Neymar. Whether it's 16 or 18, at 22, Neymar's still Neymar developing. And well, whoever the coach is, we're still keeping track and moving ahead in that way. Is that a big problem and a challenge we have in South Africa?
Maybe, Coach, before you answer, the players that you went with to the under 20 World Cups, none of them really, you know, transformed to become big superstars, even here in South Africa.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, you know, a national team project, especially at senior level, relies on players that are doing well, quality players, but also very experienced players, because it's a result-based setup there, that level. You have to qualify for the AFCON, you have to win the COSAFA, you have to qualify for the World Cup. And, I mean, when was the last time we qualified for the World Cup as a nation? It was in 2010 when we hosted.
We didn't qualify.
But what could be the contributing factors to not qualify for Russia 2018, Qatar 2022, Brazil 2014? Some of the contributing factors are the fact that we don't take care of the intellectual property, being the player. Because now, if you are saying Kobamelo Kodisang, he's still displaying his talent in a foreign league. He's still in his mid-20s. He had played international tournaments at youth level. That is intellectual property. When you bring him into a Bafana setup, you've got you know, a minimal job to do in terms of psyching him up motivationally, in terms of introducing modern tactics.
Mm.
Very easy, you know, to implement. So that, because you only have 3-4 sessions before the match itself, you know. So it's like we always starting from, from the scratch at Bafana Bafana level. You find a player that has 2-3 man of the match performances in the PSL.
Yeah.
And then now he gets a call up. And there are a lot of dynamics that are involved there. You know, you know, psychology says, you know, when a talent gets into a new environment, the talents maybe can fade away 5 to 10 times. Now the job is to bring it back in terms of adapting. So now when we have a lot of players that are getting caps at Bafana and they've never really played at foreign leagues, or they've never played CAF Champions League like Stelis are now doing, which will also be good investment for their players in terms of competing out of your comfort. So we need to be able to understand that playing for Bafana Bafana is displaying your talent under pressure. So the players that are supposed to be selected are players that are always showing, displaying their talent every weekend under extreme pressure. And where do you find that? You know, your cup finals locally, your cup semifinals locally, because now you are playing under pressure. CAF matches, CONFED, CAF Champions League, players that are playing in foreign leagues, you know. So we have to be careful with just rewarding call-ups to players that still needs to adapt, because we're facing tough teams now. It's a World Cup qualifier now, June.
Yeah.
Then again, September. And these points are very key to decide our fate, whether we are going to the US 2026, you know.
So staying with that, coach, Tshegofatso Mabasa, he's done well in COSAFA. He's doing well now for Orlando Pirates. He was doing well at Swallows as well. How do you then justify not having him on the preliminary team? Because now you look at it and you think, man, this man is on form. And I know a lot of people are saying, sheesh, okay, is it against evidence Mahopa? Is it against Mabasa? But you've got a different opinion to that. Talk to us about perhaps the inclusion or lack of inclusion of Mabasa in the team.
Yeah, I thought a little bit unfair on the player, because if you look at his performances this season, at Moroka Swallows first, he did pretty well, scored goals, and then he went back to Orlando Pirates, different tactics, different coach, different players. He still continued to score. So for me, it tells me that he's an adapter.
Yeah.
He's very versatile, and he can play under pressure, and he can deliver under pressure. He has shown. So I just felt that he deserved the call-up. Maybe with Mahopa, and looking at how Hugo Bros has been working, you could see that Hugo Bros loves continuity, which is very good, because he knows that he does not have enough time to always coach and train. So he still have the core of his players that he was coaching at the AFCON, fine. But I still see a few new faces, the likes of Petros, Bomufukeng, Moremi. So you are saying you're still calling fresh new faces, fine. Those boys have been doing well.
Yeah.
But Mabasa also deserved a call up there. He's got Bafana caps. He has had a good run at COSAFA in June off season recently. And he has been part of Bafana. He has worked with the coach before. I just felt that they could have called him now, and especially looking at the fact that we need goals, and also we want to qualify for the World Cup.
Yep.
Yeah.
What do you make of South Africa's approach to COSAFA and essentially then the national team when we come to big tournaments and qualifiers? I say this to say, I ask that because essentially we will go there with a coach that's for that tournament and almost a B team.
Yes.
In that B team, are we recognizing players that maybe we're saying, look, hey, there could be one for the future.
Yeah.
Or one we could maybe include in the senior national team when it gets to the most serious stuff. Because Mabasa then, like you say, and Chloe pointed it out as well, great COSAFA. We all remember, oh, there is a Tshegofatso Mabasa because of the COSAFA. And two players for me stood out in the tournament. But as one from there, he goes over, Omteto, I beg your pardon.
Yes,
he goes over to Chiefs, which made sense. He had a great COSAFA. The other, of course.
Janet Adams.
Yep. And of course, then there's Mabasa as well. But then from a national team standpoint, are we then saying, look, from there, our B team, can we promote one or two there and keep things, like you say, the synergy going?
Yep.
And it doesn't seem to be the case with Mabasa in this case.
No, interesting one, Sizwe. You know, when you look at the COSAFA competitions, yes, the objective is to develop the game, give young talents exposure, probably also develop the coaches mm-hmm. that are promising and doing well.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at Morena, who has been very, very consistent with giving good results in a foreign league, Botswana.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So now you say, one, it's a good idea to give Morena some minutes to display his talent.
Mm.
But the head coach, the Bafana Bafana head coach, still has to be part of that camp.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure that the tactical principles, the game model, is the same game model that is applied in the A team.
For sure.
So that the players that are promoted or are called up in the A team, they find it easy because you don't have time in national team football.
Mm-hmm.
And also, maybe it could be an opportunity for a coach like Morena himself to be part of that technical team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because now we went to AFCON. We had an excellent team, which had a high number of Mamelodi Sundowns players.
Yeah.
An excellent coach, excellent assistant coach, but very limited coaching staff. We're probably the only team in the tournament with only one assistant coach.
Sure. Mm. Yeah, and one level, everything.
At that level, you take three assistant coaches.
Yeah. Mm.
More eyes, more solutions.
For sure.
You know, the other coach is always looking at the next possible opposition.
Mm.
You know, not only on video clips, but also on pitch view.
Mm.
Just to make, just to be sure of the peripheral situations that you get there. So, we were limited in terms of numbers because we didn't take some of the technical members that were part of that COSAFA. Then why are you sending them there?
Yes.
If you are not going to use them as your intellectual property yes. going forward.
Yes.
You understand? So
yeah.
In my opinion, if SAFA investing in Morena, I would have loved to see Morena at the AFCON as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he's learning from the experience of the wonderful Hugo Broos, AFCON winner with Cameroon. So Morena benefits, but Hugo Broos benefits from Morena.
Well.
In terms of giving him information about Jaden Adams, the Mbatas, you know, and all the other players. So I just feel that that's where the disconnection happens in terms of breaking the synergy wire. And then it will affect us to qualify for World Cups.
And sure. Talk about, remember how well he does in the Champions League.
Absolutely.
With the team from Botswana against Pirates.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
young coach,
should be
good investment,
yes.
intellectual property.
Continue with the work you put in there.
Coach, we've been saying it there for the longest time. They didn't even have money to take the standby players to AFCON. But anyway, that's another question.
Players were standing by here. Eh?
I mean, the ridiculous thing about this whole thing, when they were in camp in Stellenbosch, Igram Reyners, who lives in Stellenbosch, was not even in camp. But we'll leave that. My question is... still on Bafana, the return of Lyle Foster and the inclusion of Rebelo Mofokeng?
That's a good one. Congrats to the boys, especially Rile. I just hope that the camps won't clash because I would still like to see Rile playing in the COSAFA. Bafana Bafana beating, getting minutes.
Yeah.
So it's not just about awarding call-ups. You know, but it's about allowing the player to develop on the pitch. So I would have loved to see him. I still would love to see him in the COSAFA team playing. Because maybe at this point in time, the young boy is not ready to carry Bafana Bafana in a World Cup qualifier match. So develop him by giving him minutes. Don't just bring him to camp and then just allow him to be part of the camp. So it depends because obviously there should be two camps where Bafana B will prepare for COSAFA, Bafana A will prepare for World Cup qualifiers. So send the youthful squad there. With regard to Lyle Foster, it's a good one. He's one of the best young strikers we have in the country, playing in one of the big leagues in the world. And whatever happened, happened. That's football. Things happen, we sit, we have coffee, we fix, and then he's back, and then he saves the nation.
Yeah.
And then he helps us to have options in the attacking line. So I'm happy for Lyle, and well done to Hugo Broos, just to make sure that he gives the boy another chance and to bring him back again. That's a good one.
All right, so let's stay with the youngsters, because the biggest conversation in the DStv Premiership this season has been the youngsters and, of course, them getting minutes in the league. You look at Mamelodi Sundowns, where they've got the youngster in Siyabonga Mabena, who we see him, you know, being introduced here, and they've been given minutes, right? And you go to Orlando Pirates, Rile, of course, is a starter now, and he's adapted very well with Orlando Pirates. And then we also have Uwandile Duba. Yes, Kaizer Chiefs is struggling, but, I mean, he scored a brilliant goal that we once spoke about. And we thought, sheesh, man, what a brilliant performance from him. And we also have Shandra Campbell of SuperSport United. And then you go down to Cape Town City, we've got Ulupumlo Sifumba. So there are the youngsters that we've been talking about this season. And, of course, then the coaches are giving them the chance to say, okay, let's see what you can do. What have you made of these youngsters? And who has stood out for you when you look into these youngsters?
Yeah, kudos must go to the coaches themselves. They were brave from the start. In terms of giving these players a chance, because, you know, Arsene Wenger always says that when you give young players a chance, you are investing in them, but you are going to lose points because characteristics of young players, it's inconsistency.
SuperSport is a good example.
You know, so they'll make a lot of mistakes on the pitch. You are going to drop points. You might even get fired as a coach, but in the long run, it will be worth a while. So Steve Parker at Stellies has been very brave in introducing the likes of Petros, Thabo Moloisane. I mean, a centre-back at that age, playing so many matches in this competitive league.
Yeah. For sure.
Centre-back position is one of the most demanding positions. You have to lead, you have to organise, you have to give concentration, you have to keep organising, you have to stay focused. That's not very easy. He's not scoring goals as compared to the likes of Bomofokeng. He's not trending like Abo Shabalala, you know, but that's a very, very demanding position. And well done to the young boy. You look at Mamelodi Sundowns, Rulani Mokoena has been very, very brave to throw in Abo Mabena when he needed points, to throw in Abo... You know, all these other young players, there was this, I think it's Kiabe, Kutuano. You know, Kutuano against, it was against Maritzburg, I think. Was it a cup game? Was the Nedbank Cup game? So the coaches have been brave. You know, Ribeiro to throw Mofokeng when Orlando Pirates are looking for points. Now look at the player. Scored how many goals? Four. You know, it's got 7 assists as well.
Yeah.
Probably he's on 17 pre-assists. Because, you know, sometimes we look at the final pass assists, but the pre-assists,
the
you know, his artistry, you know, the way he applies his body feint to create problems for the opposition, Nabo Dlamini and Maswangai, the way he pre-assists every time. I'm always saying, you know, this young man... we don't see the quality that he has. He's involved in a lot of pre-assists for Pirates. And, you know, we call it technical empathy. Whenever he makes a pass, it's like he's communicating with the teammates. It's a caring pass.
And sometimes they miss it, coach. Accurate. Have you noticed? Sometimes they miss it.
It's always putting Abo Mabasa in scoring positions because you are who you are as a striker because of the midfielders around you.
For sure.
You know, so for me, I just feel that we've had excellent, brave coaches this season.
For sure.
And as Middendorp himself, you know, as much as Spurs have dropped points, but you look at the young boys that have got minutes, the young boys that are now developing. So we've had a season that has been very good in terms of giving. Coach Gavin has always been brave.
From
his time at Vets, you know, throwing the likes of Abu Pagamani Mathambi, Liam Jordan. So it has been a good season, and it's going to be a tough one to select the best young player of the season, I think.
Who would be your top three, though, if I had to put you on the spot now? Top three young players of the season.
It will definitely be Rile Mofokeng at Pirates. And, of course, Thabo Moloisane at Stellenbosch, because it's not easy to play a centre-back position. Because a centre-back position at a high level, it's made for guys that are very experienced.
For sure.
Players that can really, you know, put some authority and organize. So Thabo Mloisane has done well,
mm-hmm.
as well. And Shandre Campbell. Okay. Shandre Campbell has also shown, you know, that he can assist, mm-hmm. but he can also score important goals. He can make movement. He's so matured for his age,
mm-hmm.
how he moves, how he finds new spaces. So those would be my top three.
I want to ask from a coaching point of view, when you look at the developments in the game that we've made locally over the last 10 years, maybe 10, 15 years, DDC one, Varsity Football another.
Yeah.
When those implementations were made into the game, I thought to myself, from a development point of view, this is something that's great,
mm-hmm.
but we'll only start to reap the rewards 10 or so years down the line. Do you think we are now beginning to reap the rewards of putting in things such as the DDC, things such as the Varsity Football, in just increasing the pool of young players now that we can keep an eye on and start to put into these important positions at a young age as well? Think of Nyama in the first Varsity Football campaign.
Yes, yes.
He jumped straight to the PSL, scores on debut, Bafana Bafana scores on debut, and we've been building on that since then.
Yeah, no, we've really have invested in a lot of programs as a country just to make sure that talent is activated, you know, throughout the country with different competitions, as you have mentioned, Sizwe. And that has increased our pool of talent, you know. And but the challenge that we have now in our PSL is that we have high numbers of players that are in their late 20s. They are not getting opportunities to leave the league.
Mm.
So in my opinion, we still have players that are too good to play in this league.
True.
Mm.
And they should be playing abroad. Tebo Mokoena.
Yep.
There's no way, no way Tebo Mokoena could be playing in our league.
Sure, that's long ago.
Yeah, he's so skilled, tactically, physically, technically. So obviously for Tebo Mokoena to stay in the league, that will always close some space for another player.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and that happens, the same happens in other clubs as well. Yusuf Mart maybe achieves also. You know, so we should have to look at each and every team to say, as compared to two decades back, I think we're not exporting enough.
Mm.
Mm.
Now, we have to look at the stakeholders as agents. Agents must look at themselves. Are they penetrating the market? Club owners, are they interested in really selling the players now?
Yeah.
Players themselves, do they want to go abroad? So it's a combination of many factors.
Mm-hmm.
Are they too comfortable, maybe? Is there too much money, or are we overpricing them? Because if you go to West Africa, the trend is still the same for the past four decades.
Mm.
You play football in your country to go abroad.
Mm.
You know, so football is a tool to run away from poverty.
Yeah.
Are we then not suffering from what the English system suffered from, where English players don't necessarily go to anywhere outside of the country, except for maybe a few you can think of over the years, a few. Now we're beginning to have coaches such as yourself going to other African countries. That's new to South Africa.
Yeah.
We're beginning to have players like Pesitao. I think we've also got one player in Tanzania as well.
Mm.
That are beginning to think, look, outside of just PSL. Because even if you go to, let's say, Tunisia, there's development there.
Absolutely.
There's good football there. Algeria, good football. Development beyond what you're getting here from a coaching and a playing point of view. When we think exporting players, we think Europe. Should we not also be thinking some parts of Africa where the football is worth going there for?
I agree, Sizwe. It's actually a very good point. You just made me, you know, remember Tukelo Ranti's situation, you know. Mm. Before he came to join Pirates on loan from Stars of Africa, he was actually loaned to Mozambique.
Mozambique, yes, I remember
to go
that,
spend the season there.
Yeah.
Just to grow. That is, you know, displaying your talent out of your comfort.
Mm.
You know, obviously, mentally, you'll grow. Tactically, you'll be challenged a little bit. Physically, you'll be stimulated. When he came and partnered with Benny at Orlando Pirates, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Then he went to go play in the English Premier League. So it's exactly what you are saying, that we, with our population, we have a high number of quality players, and we have a high number of quality coaches as well. And we need to put a lot of effort and emphasis. And SAFA must also play a certain role in terms of pushing the coach to get opportunities outside and helping these players to also get opportunities outside, because we are still one of the best leagues in the continent, in the top 10, So we are obviously attracting what? Players from other countries as well, South America, North Africa. So we have to be aware, because you look at a player like Sipho Mbule, he's not getting enough minutes, in my opinion, to stimulate his talent and to maybe help us at Bafana level in future. So so you look at now what's happening at Orlando Pirates. Mbata, Miguel team are dominating that double pivot role there. But then now the likes of Abu Makaringe, we don't see them. So we are good players equally. So we are losing them, you know. And you look at other countries, small countries in Europe, smaller clubs could probably benefit from those players, because we are a country that has players that are technically rich.
For sure.
Very, very creative. So I just think we really need to look at the market again and try to penetrate again. And the ambition has to start with the players, the club owners, and their respective agents as well.
Coach, just to take you back on the issue of youngsters, I was speaking to Coach Ulane not so long ago and talking about the younger players. I mean, if you look at international football now, probably the best player right now is the Brazilian striker at Real Madrid, Vinicius Junior. He's pretty much a teenager now. So football has been dominated by teenagers right through. There's here and there where you'll find a girl of 25, 26, who is like a dominant force. Now, he was talking about, he does not understand why South Africa, we don't produce exceptional young players who are ready to go to Europe, like a Benny, like a Steven Pinaro.
Quentin Fortune,
who can leave South Africa straight into the first team of a top club in Europe. Having worked with youngsters, what is the problem? Why Rele is not ready to go to Europe? Why Shandre, Jaden Adamson? Why are these talented kids not that ready to go and play top football in Europe?
Yeah, I think technically, if you look at the youngsters that are performing in our league at the moment, I think technically they are ready. You know, I think they are ready to play in Europe. To get their further development in Europe in terms of playing maybe for the respective reserves league that side. And you see, the biggest challenge is that in order to go to Europe, you have to be scouted. And then where do you get scouted? In international tournaments.
Yeah.
Which are those international tournaments? Are your under 20 AFCONs, under 20 World Cups? You understand? That's where sometimes scouts try to go there and scout those players, you know, just to see if they can perform out of their comfort. They can perform representing their national team. They can perform under pressure, you know, because there are conditions to select talent in the European clubs. They look at the X factor in a player, you know. Is he multilingual? So now that goes back to our academy program. You know, are we only using English, you understand, as an instruction to teach the players? You know, should we consider other languages in relation to where we are preparing them to go to? You know, should they start attending Spanish lessons, French, depending on the players, Portuguese? Is it important? You know, could we take them to European restaurants once a month? Even when they are at academy level, just to understand, okay, German restaurant, French restaurant, how must you behave? You know, because when you are developing someone, you're trying to develop them holistically.
For sure.
Not technically on the pitch.
For sure.
I was going to say a Greek restaurant, so that when they start breaking the plates, you understand what it is.
They're not shocked when it happens.
I mean, even Chloe is trying French.
Absolutely. I'm also learning French.
Yeah, you know. Because, you know, football is a social game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything that happens on the pitch starts in the dressing room. I remember when I was reading an article, I was in Lesotho. I was reading an article about Mududu Shabalala going to Belgium for trials. And the first question I asked myself, I said, I wish he can start familiarizing himself with the Belgium restaurant, the culture, going to the embassy, understanding how to greet, just to socialize. Because when we socialize first, then we can be able to build a connection. When we build a social connection, maybe we can be able to train together and play together. I don't know how the poor boy excelled.
Yeah.
I don't know how his sessions, was he comfortable? Was he out of his shell? Because to take someone out of his shell or her shell, it's a process. Mm. And the process has to start within their environment to try and mimic or reproduce what he's going to face that side.
Yeah.
Sure. Now,
it's one thing to look at it from a player's perspective or a coach's perspective. Yeah. The importance now, we touched on it, but we sort of called it synergy.
Yeah.
But we touched on it, didn't really get to say how important an organization such as SAFA, how important they are now in the structure of such things, players moving abroad and so on. Mm. When we spoke of the qualifiers for the under-20s that I attended in Eswatini, there was a few scouts from Italy there.
Yes.
And they come to me and say, hey, South African players, hey, we're looking forward to seeing. We hear they're technically good. First game, it doesn't look good. Second game, it looks okay. Third game, they're flying. So then the scouts are coming to me saying, but what happened? So now you've done your research as the commentator, now I must tell them. No, the problem here is these guys are playing together for the first time here. And that's now an institutional issue as a mother party, which is this talented, very by the fourth, third game, I promise you, these guys were flying. Arguably one of the best teams in the tournament, but they only got it together by the third game.
Yes.
And that's not their fault. They were playing for the first time together in that tournament.
Yeah.
And that's our issue as South African, how we organize and protect the lads as well, or even ladies from a playing point of view.
No, that's true. So fast-tracking talent has been a big challenge because the likes of Benny, all those, their talent was stimulated naturally, but they were playing with big men while they were still boys, you know. So what I don't see, I would see a player that is playing in the Academy League under 19 or maybe DDC, but not having enough training sessions with the senior team. So that should be a problem because remember at academy level already, the best is not training with the best because you'll always see maybe two top three players in every academy team. But how do you stimulate that top three? Those top three players, you have to make sure that they train full-time with the senior team.
For sure.
And after training with the senior team, they still have to attend respective junior national team camps. So you are always testing them out of their comfort. And they have to play these COSAFA tournaments as U20 players or as U23 players. We also have to be present in the CHAN tournaments, you know, which we haven't been present for some time because of the players are never available whenever the national teams are looking for them. Can we increase the cooperation a little bit between clubs and maybe the federation? So there are just a lot of factors that are affecting this talent. And that's why, like when Sizwe is saying that there is no consistency in them maintaining the same football action. They show you something good now, and then after that, they fade away. And that's where the West Africans are dominating
for
us.
Sure.
Now the Central Africans, countries like Congo, continue to export players in big leagues like the French League. So we need to really up our game in terms of exporting. But like Esmahlatsi is saying, we need to look at how we are really stimulating this talent. Yes, 100%. It's there, but the ways of nurturing it needs to be adjusted a bit.
It definitely has, and we keep things moving. Coach Uvusmuzi Vilakazi had something to say about Coach Thabo. Let's quickly find out what he had to say.
It was only the first phase, my brother. Only the first eight days. I'm still going to go for another 8 days and the last 8 days, but it is very informative, I must say. Having people who are fully informed with the football and knowledgeable with football, Steve and also Oprah Conte, and we've got a guest as well, Thabo. You know, I knew Thabo as a coach, but what I saw and heard him in front of me, hey, he's something else. So that KFB license is very informative, and we will definitely gain something, and it will take us from this level to another. Sounds like you have a good.
Well, surely after winning against Orlando Pirates, you will be feeling, you know, in a very, very good mood. And, of course, very nice message, of course, from Coach VV. Coach Senang, quick reaction from you. I mean, earlier on, I said you're a student of the game, and I think it shows and everybody appreciates it, not only just us as journalists, but also the coaches around you.
Yeah, no, warm words from Coach Vusmose Vilakazi. Yeah, Kanu, I appreciate that. Yeah, I'm also part of the course as a junior instructor because obviously the senior instructors are Steve Kotsi and Coach Konti Kubega, and they've been in the game for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm fairly new, as much as I'm a CAF FIFA instructor, but I'm fairly new because I don't have minutes in terms of practice. Mm. You know, so basically they are also training me, and I'm also coming from a different background, from the pitch. So they've been instructors and just working in class every time. So Safa just felt that they want to mix it up a little bit, bring coaches that have the experience, share our challenges, share our takeaways in various projects that we've had before, and also combine it with the solid content that they receive from the likes of football coach Steve Kotsie and Coach Konti Kubega. And yeah, it's an excellent group in that KFB license.
Mm.
I'm very impressed with the group.
Yeah,
some guys coaching in the NFDs, Abu Papi Zotwani, and a lot of coaches coaching in the DSTV.
And Morgan.
You know, Morgan and Manila. Of course, Morgan
pound
Manila,
for pound.
McDonald Makube, Tabo September. So it's an excellent group. Boniso Vilagas, second assistant at AmaZulu. So credit must go to Safa because licenses are very important in the CAF space. You know, you can go around the continent. An assistant coach must have a CAF B. A head coach must have a CAF A. So we've slightly had fallen behind as a country with regard to regulations. So anyone could easily just coach in our respective leagues. So Safa is trying to push that. But as instructors, we have to push the content and challenge the coaches because they are talented, but we have to give them complex problems, give them practicals, assess them so that they could be able to solve problems. Hopefully one day we could be able to produce an excellent coach out of that class because, you know, you look at the likes of Coach Pitso Msimani, he's the pride of the nation, Rulani Mukwena, pride of the nation, you know, the way they are excelling at continental space, Bofadlu Davids, even Coach Mandla Ngcikazi, if you remember the CAF run conferred. So, but we need more. We need to increase that number because if you look at South Africa, in terms of coach education in the continent, we are one of the leading countries. So we need to really sharpen their skills, the guys that we have at the KFB license at the moment, so that they don't rely only on coaching our respective PSL clubs, but they can also penetrate other clubs around the continent.
Coach, maybe coach, let me take a chance and
no, guys, come on. There's no way.
Go ahead,
influencer.
You know, I'm sure when you started coaching in all those years ago, things were different. Now football has evolved. You know, how important it is for coaches to sort of embrace the new way of doing things now, and what has been your observations of how football coaching has evolved over the years?
Yeah, no, with the evolution of the game, then sports science and analytics in video analysis, research work becomes very, very important. So then it becomes an educative process. Then qualifications are not only the only requirement that is needed to be a coach, but a deeper level of understanding components such as sports science, physiology, video analysis, the body of the player, the opposition, and the tactics. So that's why we need coaches that love education and do away with coaches that love qualifications and also take care of the ex-professional players, you know. Don't just throw them and expose them and just give them jobs without having not given them proper education.
For sure.
Because having played professional football, you already have a lot of knowledge from the pitch. Can you imagine if you complement it with some solid education. Coach education? Now you are producing a Zinedine Zidane,
for sure,
a Pep Guardiola, who can shine on the pitch, Pitso Msimani, and shine
as a coach.
Off the pitch as well, as a coach as well. So we are working hard on that, as SAFA coach education, to say, let's challenge these ex-professional players and give them education, not qualification.
100%.
Within the coaching space,
yes,
one has to ask, because many think coaches and former players being coaches and are thinking coaching top-tier football.
Yeah.
In speaking to many people abroad, they also speak of the need for top-tier coaches coaching
junior teams,
your under-9s, the importance of a 9-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 12-year-old, 13-year-old, getting that top-notch coaching and not waiting until they're 19, 20 to get the very best coaching. Talk to us about that more.
Yeah, I thought, you know, Sizwe, you see, it's always difficult when you compare Africa and Europe, because obviously Europe have the resources, especially the finance, to take care of important youth coaches.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come into our continent in Africa, a youth coach has a certain salary bracket.
Mm.
Now, obviously, coaching being a profession, it's also a tool to pay your bills and to move away from your financial challenges. Yeah. You know. So now, every solid youth coach that we have now in our space as a continent in Africa is aspiring to be an assistant at senior football or a head coach at senior football in order to satisfy the financial issue that he's facing as an African. Mm. So hence now we are losing a lot of quality youth coaches so early when they are progressing. I mean, you look at someone like Sboniso Vilakazi at AmaZulu. What an excellent youth coach. Amazing job he has done with AmaZulu. And so are the likes of other coaches, what Arthur Zwane did with Kaizer Chiefs. Excellent job. But when you lose them by promoting them, which for them it's good, everybody wants to progress, but we are losing a talented coach and the talent is going to suffer because that talent is a flower, it needs nurturing. Yeah. Now we are losing the nature so early, you know, and I'm monitoring in each and every club that we're losing quality youth coaches so early because of reasons like finance, reasons like getting promotion. You look at Dugu Dugu Makanya, he's doing a good job. You know, even the gentleman who's coaching at Stellenbosch, what is his name again? Yeah, so he's doing an amazing job. But he'll eventually get a promotion maybe to be just one of the second assistant coaches
to earn more money. Mm.
And then the youth program will be affected. That's the challenge we're facing in our continent.
So, Coach, what I want to find out is, I mean, you look into the DStv Premiership, the longest time the conversation was we recycle a lot of coaches and especially the senior coaches. But now things are a bit different. You've got a young coach in Rulani Mokwena. You go down to Chipa. There's also Taboa September.
Yes.
So the conversation is different currently. I mean, you were also at Sekhukhune at some point, but your journey is also a different one where you started coaching in your 20s. I mean, being at, of course, Orlando Pirates, Mamelodi Sundowns, the national team. So your journey is a bit different from, you know, the rest who then maybe tried to play football. You knew from the get-go that you want to, of course, be a coach. Talk to us about having the young coaches and actually running things in terms of the senior clubs in the DStv Premiership.
Yeah, you see, it's always important to invest in young coaches because then you'll the investment will be able to reward you, because if you look at Mamelodi Sundowns, they've invested so much in Rulani Mokwena and they are reaping the rewards, you know. So there are a lot of students of the game around, you know. You could see with Fadru the job he was doing at Maritzburg, then Orlando Pirates, Sean Bartlett, what he did with Spurs, promoting Spurs. By the way, he also promoted Golden Arrows. And I think he's one of our brightest young coaches that we haven't appreciated maybe as a country, and a whole lot of other coaches. And the reason we have so much coaches is because we have an excellent coach education system in the country, and we also have resources that are also contributing to the education of the coaches. We have good schools as well, and we have good institutions. And I mean, a lot of clubs have sports scientists, video analysts, and that just stimulates the jargon within technical teams to always be on your toes in terms of discussing tactics and the progress of the game, you know. We just need to believe in them, give them a chance, and allow Of course, we must still get some foreign coaches because football is a global game. Mm-hmm. It's very universal. Mm-hmm. You don't play inside a vacuum.
Yeah.
You play against the best in the world. You need ideas from foreign worlds as well. Mm-hmm. But not do away with your characteristics. You consult, you learn, but you also adjust in your environment. I mean, we've got excellent foreign coaches that have come into our space, the likes of Stuart Baxter, Ben Smith, Middendorp, Mushin, you know, the late Ted, you know.
Roll as well.
Yeah, they've really, absolutely. Mm-hmm. They've influenced our game in a certain way, structurally, tactically, you know, logically, to maximize the cognitive thinking of some of our technically good players. But we must not neglect the natural talent that we have within our coaches. Look at Thabo September.
Mm-hmm.
You know, excelled at the DDC Supersport, doing so well. They've kept now Chipa United to be really, really structured, consistent. So we have to give them a chance, like Mamelodi Sundowns has given a chance in Rulani Mokoena.
All right. So now the big conversation, coach of the season. Does it go to the coach that has actually won the league, or you look at Estelles, who, I mean, they've done absolutely well this season, been to almost every final, the semi-finalist. You look into, of course, they've won a trophy as well, and they're calling Black Label, currently fighting for the CAF Champions League spot between second, maybe they might go to third with the Confederation Cup because Pirates is also trying to get to the CAF Champions League. But do you then look at coach Steve Barker? Because always the conversation is, coach, that you want a coach that will also, you know, better the players and improve the players and actually see that the players are growing. And when you look at both Stellenbosch and Mamelodi Sundowns and, of course, Orlando Pirates, you could argue that the players have grown. They are improving compared to, of course, their previous season. So who's your take in terms of course, then the coach of the season and then perhaps the criteria to awarding the coach?
Just to add to that, when you speak of Sundowns, I think we have to say a little bit more than they've just won the league again.
Yeah.
They've set records with almost every game they've played as well.
Yeah. Exactly.
So we must add that to the pedigree when it comes to Orlando Mugwena. These are his accomplishments. It's not just winning the league.
But and 6 games to go, they won the league.
Yeah, and the African Football League as well.
Yeah.
Exactly. I think this clearly shows that our league is one of the best leagues in the continent. We probably have 3 to 4 or 4 to 5 excellent coaches that actually deserve awards. But unfortunately, the award could only go to one. And in my opinion, the Mamelodi Sundowns coach, Rulani Mokoena, deserves it for many reasons, because the criteria is he has been coaching 100% of the games in the season. Yes, Steve Barker has done well, but the Sundowns have won a CAF tournament. They are going to a final. They've won the league. Mm-hmm. So they are actually gunning for a treble with an attractive brand of football, which also accommodate individuals to continue growing and shining.
For sure.
If you look at how Ronwen Williams' skills were maximized as compared to when he was at Supersport.
Yeah,
credit must go to the coaching staff, Tebo Mokoena's performance, you know. The likes of Alende, how he has had an amazing season.
Zuko, Mtunyelo now, who
absolutely.
Look at,
you know, so
player,
Sundowns as a team, it's a very effective tactical machine.
Yeah.
And that could only be created by the training methods that they are exposed to every day in the coaching. But not taking anything away from Steve Barker and not taking anything away from the Pirates coach Ribeiro as well. But I just think by far the Mamelodi Sundowns coach Rulani Mokoena should be the coach of the season.
And then when you look into how tactically, how these players have grown and how they improve, coach, I mean, you've known this. I think I look at your list, especially the 2019 squad that you called up. I look at Abo Munyane, who are there, Abo Lal, Abo Njoblo Blom, who are also part of your squad. And you look into their growth and you think, man, these boys really do come far. Now, when you look into your Mamelodi Sundowns, your Orlando Pirates and your Steve Barker, we can throw in Kaiser Chiefs there if we like as well, because it is a big club. But the tactical acumen that you've seen in these players, because I think that's also the conversation, especially when you look into Orlando Pirates, where they get so comfortable playing in their own half, and you think, sheesh, I mean, yes, they are scoring goals, but there are those moments where you think, that's not the right decision making. Mm. I know your philosophy is always, of course, organized chaos, where you say, allow the players,
mix it with the creativity
and the structure. Talk to us about that and what you've seen in our league.
Yeah, no, I thought I'll start with the champions again, Mamelodi Sundowns. They've really maximized the gap between themselves and other clubs in terms of evolving tactically. Mm-hmm. You could see that they are so present in every phase of the game. You know, in attack, in defense, defense from attack to defense, to defense, attack from defense to... So they are transitional play. They are set pieces. They've become a very, very effective team in every phase of the game. And that's where they dominate games because, you know, in most teams, you could see that they still separate, you know, they still separate the phases of the game, maybe in training, maybe with their coaching style. But, you know, modern training, it's all about just combining all the phases within one session. And the game reflects that. When you look at Pirates, when you look at Mamelodi Sundowns and Stellenbosch, you could see that the cognitive application of the players, you could see that they are getting training that keeps them on their toes in attack, in defense, on transition, during critical phases like after set piece, second phase, before set piece, you know, and how to take a set piece quickly. You could see that these players are well trained, they are well coached, and they are challenged every time in training. Their information and knowledge about exploiting opposition, creating overloads in certain areas. Bomudau, sometimes Nabo Allen, Dezwane, they will create an overload in the right zone. Final third. You could see that they've analyzed this and they want to create something in this.
For sure.
How Bomunyane at Pirates, together with Bo Maswangai, Mufukeng, Dlamini, to create overloads in certain areas. Look at their last match against Chipa. You could see that it's something that is drilled in training and the players have seen it. They are learning. So credit must go to the coaches that are really putting hours to make the game simpler and simpler, you know, for the players.
On that note, quickly, without too much explanation, coach, footballer of the season, who's your top three?
Tough one again. I'll go for Teboho Mokoena number one for various reasons. Yeah. He has been influential for Mamelodi Sundowns. He has been the heart of the team. You know, I'll go back to the technical empathy factor, whereby his passes are actually communicating with his teammates. He seldom loses a pass. He takes a lot of shots, and credit to the coaching staff because that's one dimension of his game that really makes me happy.
Yeah,
he's always hitting on target. Very key in set pieces for Mamelodi Sundowns and for Bafana as well. So he has had a brilliant season. And you could see that in their last game, Champions League, they really missed
him. They needed him.
But not taking anything away from Ronan Williams, who's my number two, because he has evolved from being a goalkeeper and into a modern goal player.
Yeah.
You know, he's involved in every construction of every attack for Mamelodi Sundowns. He can see a pass further. He can see medium passes into the midfield third. And he can also build from the back. So credit to their goalkeeper coach, I think Ronwen. And the third one, it's the artistry of Maswangai.
We're waiting for that.
Yeah, the boy is an artist.
Looking at you.
I just wish he can continue having the same rhythm.
Yeah.
He's excellent. And well done to the job of Farouk Khan, because I remember we took him to Amajita in Zambia.
Yeah.
He was playing for Stars of Africa in 2017. An introvert, but extremely, extremely dangerous when he's on the ball and when he's off the ball with his run. So He's one for the future, but these are my top three in the league.
I just think he over elaborates sometimes.
Yeah,
he must cut out
that.
All this stuff.
Yeah,
he can be even more effective.
Affect the game.
Yeah, that's all. But,
Yeah, that's your 2 cents there, Mahlatsi Mphahlele, about Tito. Tito's got a whole song now. We always end off, of course, the show with a question. And today's question is, we want to find out from the gentleman here, and perhaps you can also indulge us, of course, which player do you think, of course, one of the greatest players, did not win the Ballon d'Or, deserved to win it, but unfortunately was not selected to win the Ballon d'Or? Sizwe Mabena?
Thierry Henry.
Okay.
For me, finished top goal scorer one top season strike. In England, top assist in the same season in England. Mm-hmm. Problem with Thierry Henry is you're playing in the same generation as Zidane,
yes,
as the original Ronaldo,
yes,
as Ronaldinho, as Del Piero, and so many others.
Yes.
Yeah.
That
yes.
He never won it. We never really complained because we understood.
Yeah.
But best player for me never to have won it.
All right.
Okay. I had the same at Thierry Henry. I think at some stage he was definitely unplayable, especially that season where Arsenal went in dozen without losing a match.
Invincibles, yes.
He was. I don't know how he didn't win that season, but since he has chosen him, maybe I'll go to Andrea Pirlo of Italy.
Ooh, nice one.
Yeah, he talks to the ball. Class.
Yeah.
He had everything. You don't go to.
And World Cup winner.
Yeah, World Cup winner, yeah.
06.
It's just like Zidane in one of the pressure games, he went in there to get a penalty, Panenga, back of the net. You don't do that if you're a small player. Top class.
All right, and that's where we leave it, of course. It's been absolutely amazing. Thank you so much to Coach Thabo Senang for joining us. And, of course, we'll do it again real soon. In the next episode, we're celebrating our 20th episode. I'm absolutely looking forward to that. I know, right?
See, you say something.
I'm waiting for you to get married, really.
It's not your show, Sizwe Mabena. It's not your show. But thank you so much for joining us. Hopefully you enjoyed that conversation as much as we did. A lot of information, of course, from Coach Thabo Senang. Well, that's it from us. Cheers. Goodbye.
Good clean.
Bye.